Hi, and welcome to another episode of Walleye Chronicles, where I bring you guys in off the street and we have a conversation about your fishing history and what makes you want to fish every single day. Today I have with me Cole Griesbach. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Wonderful. So let's get started right off the bat. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Appleton. I was born at Appleton Medical Center, so I've been in this area my whole life. So.
Nice. Old AMC over there.
Yes. So.
You had a lot of access to water then.
I do. I grew up fishing Lake Michigan with my grandpa. So I was there like every weekend catching salmon, rainbows. Then I started, I actually didn't start fishing for walleyes until like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And I just became hooked. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
So let's go right back to the beginning. What's the first fishing memory that you can remember? The first time fishing. What's your first memory?
Oh boy.
That you can...
It had to be on my grandpa's 32-foot bayliner out on Lake Michigan. It was probably like a 37, 38-pound salmon, like king salmon.
Nice.
Yeah, it was huge.
That's a big-ass boat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we went every weekend during the summer. Yeah.
So wow.
We would sleep right out in the marina, and by the time I woke up, he already had like two or three in the box. Yeah. So it was intense.
So what was that like then, being in the marine in the morning and stuff like that? Because that's kind of a different world. Most of us don't really get to see that side of fish. I mean, other than maybe going out on a guide trip, most of us don't get to see that marina life. And the.
Well, it was, from what I can remember, that was a long time ago. It was probably 25 years ago. But it stands marina and Two Rivers. It's not there anymore. I don't know what it's called now, but yeah, it was just some old guy that ran it, had his own bar right there, and he had a lounge for all the guys that had their boats docked there. And I remember we would, he would obviously be drinking some beer because I was of age. I would have, you know, a Hershey's bar and a Pepsi, and then we would go and sleep out on the boat or whatever. And sometimes there was thunderstorms and it was a lot of rocking and rolling out while we were trying to sleep. So yeah, it was, it's actually not bad. Oh. Would I do it now every weekend? Probably not. So yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's a kind of part of fishing's always kind of, I've never really done too much of it.
Yeah.
And it's the idea of just hanging out in your boat and
get
up in the morning and go.
Yep.
So you launch out of Two Rivers then?
Yes. Every weekend. I don't think we went anywhere else that I can remember.
And the fishing was always good?
Always. But now it's a lot tougher now than it was back then. Cause I don't know if everybody knows who Kevin Tank is.
Okay.
He also guides, he works with Fish Stick Fishing out of Sheboygan, and I usually go like once or twice a year with him, and it's not as good as it used to be like 20 years ago. It's a lot more difficult.
So going back to childhood, what about freshwater fishing? What's your first memory of that kind of, well, they're all freshwater, but like inland lakes, I guess.
Well, I would have to say, well, my grandpa Steve Griesbach, he used to guide out on Winnebago.
Okay.
And he quit doing that. I don't know why or how many years he quit doing it after, but he gave us his old, I think it was like a 16 or 17 foot Lund that we basically like fixed up, and we used to fish out of that. So I think that was up in Kingston, campground in Kingston. We used to fish a pond there, and I can remember I had my picture on the wall from a weekend of catching their biggest largemouth bass out of that pond. And I'm not a bass guy by any means, but yeah, that was pretty cool. So probably that's started awesome. Around there.
That's awesome. So did you fish when you were like a middle school age around around Appleton?
Yeah.
Were you guys kind of banging the rivers out? And how was that for you?
We used to, before they built all them condos and stuff down on the Fox River, down in the flat area.
Okay, yep. Oh, yeah.
We used to just fish off the shore and catch a bunch of panfish, and sometimes we even catch a white bass or two.
Right.
We used to do a lot of that during the summer, and
all that stuff's gone.
Yep, all that's gone. I wouldn't fish the Fox right now anyway there. But yeah,
it had to be full of bass too, I would think, with all the
lot of largies. Yeah, I would think so. Yep.
So it's getting in the bikes and riding down and
getting on the bikes
all afternoon, getting in trouble,
holes in the backpack and digging holes in the backyard for worms. Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. So when when you got your license, did it extend a little more? Did you get a little farther away, or kind of just going to go more often, or
no,
school get in the way?
No, I was, right in high school, I was more worried about, typical teenager stuff, cars and girls.
Yep.
I didn't fish much then. It wasn't until like 6-7 years ago when I moved over off of Prospect Ave by Xavier High School, where they have, I think it's, don't remember what the name of the park that is down there. I used to fish off of that long pier.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started getting more and more into it, buying the expensive rods and the reels. And it was like 4 years ago, we finally got our first actual walleye fishing boat. Then I got more intense into it. So, yeah. And now I'm hooked. So.
So when you moved over off Prospect, what kind of got you going again? Just because it was a close place to fish and it was a good fishing?
There's not much to do in that area on the weekends or during the summer, and I didn't have a lot of friends back then. So, yeah, it was just something I could do to escape. I would even, you know, jump in the car and drive out to Jefferson Park in Menasha and try and catch walleyes from there. So, yep.
Yeah, Menasha's where it's at, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, that's normally where I launch during the summer from Winnebago. Yeah.
I fished in there a couple times, came in there. I always get in there for the weeds and try to get in the weeds, but I can't quite figure. I know they're in there. I just can't quite figure. I don't know if it's the weeds are just too thick.
Yeah.
It just makes it tough to get down. I always see an old guy sitting on the edge of the channel all the time.
Yes.
I'm like, I got to figure this out. He's like, no, they're here.
Yeah. Yep. Every year that guy's still sitting there. Every year.
Yeah. I tried to figure out what it was this last year I was in there. And I'm like, okay, it was so clear you could see them. You know, in like 12 feet of water, I could see the tips. And I'm like, okay, they're in here. How the hell you catch them? And
Yep.
That was a
lot of sheephead in there too, nonstop.
Right, a lot of bass up there. We went up to the. I went all the way up to the dam, and fished by the bridge there, the new bridge they put in.
Oh, okay.
And I think the first, I bet we made like the first 15 casts were all bass, just nonstop. I mean, they weren't anything. I think the biggest one maybe 2 pounds, but just littered full of them in there. I'm like,
yeah,
that's all that's here.
And then a few years ago, I actually went and met a bunch of them MLF guys when they came to Nina.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. I got to hang out with Mike Ike and Ellie for a while. And
that's cool.
I got to meet Dustin Cannell, who is now like the big guy in bass fishing.
Yep.
So that was cool. I got to meet Gerald Swindle. That was, that kind of got me going to get a boat myself. So, that was pretty neat.
So you got the boat. What's the first thing you did when you got the boat? How was the first back time? Did you back trailers before, or is that?
No.
No, so how was that for you?
I was awful. I probably backed it into a ditch a couple times because we got it in February, and that's when we had snow. So I kept putting it in the snowbank. But I finally got it down. I learned by myself. Nobody had to really show me. So I got it mastered.
Did you go sneak off and when no one's around and back it and stuff like that? That's what I did when I first got mine. I would just go. I would go at the end of the day or whatever when everybody's gone and just practice a couple times.
Yeah, I have a big backyard, and there's a church back here, so they have like usually an empty parking lot. I learned to bag it in the lines and park in the lines, and it was a work in progress, but I got it pretty mastered now. So
right, that's one of the roughest things. You don't want to generally trying to look like an idiot at the landing, right?
Because everybody's much there,
especially if it's now after work, if it's in Green Bay, De Pere, Oshkosh, wherever. You don't want to look like an idiot in the weekends. It makes it tough, very stressful.
And I actually had my first oopsie 2 years ago at Jefferson Park. I have a bigger truck now. When I first bought my boat, it was smaller. I actually kind of turned it a little sharp, and I just nicked the guy's taillight on the trailer. And I kind of screwed myself by leaving my name because he took it to some boat place in Oshkosh and got quoted and a ridiculous amount of money to get it fixed for something that you could do for $40. But
there's nothing worse than that.
But yeah, I got it taken care of and haven't had much issue since. So.
It's tough. I noticed that they keep making bigger boats, but the parking lots stay the same size.
But that new, just redid the county launch in between like Oshkosh and Nina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that one is
parking lot is incredible.
Yeah, that is spectacular. Yes. I was down there like a month ago. I heard it was done. I drove down there. It was still ice out. And I'm like, holy mackerel, this thing is huge.
Yes, so you can literally get in there and turn it all the way
Gardman
around.
Gardman or something like
that? Grunman's.
Grunman, yeah.
Yep. They got the peacocks there, too. Like, every time you're in there.
Right. Yeah, that is a fabulous. But probably the best launch in Winnebago, I would think.
I like High Cliff. High Cliff's is pretty nice, but it's two lanes.
That's true. High Cliff kind of reminds me if you're at Lake Michigan. It has that big water feel.
Nina Wreck is pretty big too, but I've never really launched there, so that's where.
Yeah, I don't know how their pads will be, how the angles will be on that, but as far as the parking lot and stuff, there's one in Oshkosh that are nice, but one's nice, but it has no parking. Another one has a bunch of parking, but the landing sucks.
Yes,
can't get your boat turned around, and the thing. It's
not
just,
really a win-win there.
No. And then, you know, you go to Rainbow Park and that one, you can't, that's just, that's all kinds of fun. Although now with the water being so low, the only place I can launch is the first stall at Rainbow Park because all the water's so low, you can drop your trailers off.
Yeah, last year I actually had a scary moment there. We were the second person that launched, and then that's when it was still cold and the water was freezing. Well, my truck started sliding back down into the drink, and I'm like, oh, poop.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing worse than that feeling.
Yeah.
People got to remember to stop at the landing and dry their, dump it out there. But
now I spend most of my time up in De Pere. We launch out of Fox Point. I was just there on Tuesday, and I never threw hair jigs before in my life until then, so I'd seen Cody Solberg here once, and I actually watched one of his YouTubes where he was kind of doing a tutorial on how to do them.
Yep.
And it actually worked. I was actually shocked. Second cast I made, I had a nice 22-inch. Yeah, it was awesome.
That's cool. So, I mean, I have them in the boat. We were out this last week on the nice day on Tuesday. That was gorgeous, and we trolled. So.
With Cody?
No, by myself. Me and my son were out. And yep. We did some stuff by the park, small stuff, and then we trolled and caught. We haven't surpassed the 24-inch mark yet, so everything's been small yet. But I've only been up there once, and we went out on Oshkosh. I think on Monday to make sure everything worked.
Oh, okay. You were out on Winnebago?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That was the first time having the boat. I like to take it out one time before I go anywhere to make sure
there's no bugs.
If something breaks, I want to break it locally or the truck or anything like that. I don't want to be driving all the way up to Depeer and all of a sudden I have an issue.
Yeah, I don't have nothing crazy for a boat like that yet, but next year.
So you got your boat, you work on back end. How was the first fishing experience with it? Did you go out and expect to just slaughter them because you have a boat, you can go anywhere now and get fall on your face, or how'd that go?
First time we took that out brand new was Fox River in Oshkosh out of Rainbow Park. And from what I can remember, it wasn't hot yet because it was still early.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't nothing killer, but it was kind of neat because that's when you have to have your motor break-in period.
Yep.
So that was a learning experience too. The fishing, compared to what we were in, it was like an old 80s smoker craft aluminum that we started learning, and we had like just put rods together with reels and nothing, combos, nothing. Yeah, it was kind of nice, having brand new everything, new electronics, bigger electronics. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So
what did you go from electronics to, what did you go from to what do you have now?
We had, like your Lowrances that are older. I don't know what they were called.
The gray ones?
But now I've upgraded to I have a Hummingbird 9 Mega everything or whatever.
Nice.
Side imaging, all that on there now. And I love it.
Right.
I will never go back to anything other than Hummingbird.
That's pretty awesome. I had Hummingbirds, and now my new boat is all Garmin, but I love the Hummingbirds. The side imaging,
there's crisp, yes.
Side imaging, and then if you get a chance, I went with 360 and LiveScopes came out, I'm like, I'm going to get a 360. I kind of went the other direction, and I love the 360, but I do miss having the 360. I spend a lot of time in the rivers and stuff, so being able to look at rock piles and stuff, it's just spectacular.
Yep.
But the side imaging, that was a game changer.
That's pretty much all I use. But on Winnebago, I know where I'm going to go. I know where I'm going to fish. I don't really need my electronics just for depth and speed and stuff. That's pretty much all I use it for. And it works.
So you pull in hand, or you do some trolling yet?
Last year I was on an incredible trolling bite in the mud. Like, I don't think there was a time where last summer where I was out there and I didn't get more than or less than like three fish, and they were all decent size.
Nice.
And then you would talk to the people from the launches and they were
struggling.
So I was killing it last year.
There you go.
Yeah. And a buddy of mine, this was his first summer fishing out in a boat like nonstop, and he goes, this is probably the most walleye I've ever caught my whole life. I'm like, well, I'm glad I could help because I'm learning too. So,
So what's been the hardest part, or what do you think has been the biggest learning curve for you?
Wind direction, and because I'm still like learning patterns. Yeah, wind direction is the toughest one. So, like, I don't know. Wind direction, like if you're trying to troll in the mud, I mean, it's not really a big thing, but if you're trying to troll like over like rock piles and reefs and all that stuff, it's kind of tough.
Gotcha.
Depth management was a big thing starting, like where you put your baits down, and that was a learning curve for me. But now I think I've got it pretty dialed in.
So are you more of a crawler harness guy or a crankbaits?
I used to love crawler harnesses, but that was just nonstop sheephead after sheephead after sheephead. But then a couple summers ago, I finally figured out the crankbaits, and now that's what I am now,
right.
Crankbait. Because now that walleye, I just picked up that walleye X company that I'm on the team for now. They sent me a bunch of stuff that I'm going to try this year and see if I can get my team's worth. So
that's cool. Yeah, it's kind of nice once you can get figure out crankbaits and get a crankbait bite so you're not dirty, the boat's not dirty, you're constantly buying
crawlers.
Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing better than
leaving them in your live well.
There's nothing better than just having a weekend where you don't need to get live bait.
Yes.
Right? Yep. When you can, I mean, I want to support the bait shops, but I don't want to have live bait. I don't want to, you know, it's nice not to have to deal with that kind of stuff.
I just don't like buying minnows either. But that's normally what you use in the spring.
Right. So. Last year I didn't buy any minnows and I did okay. This year I'm hoping to do the same thing, but we're so early. I think I'm going to have to hit minnows eventually.
I just read a news article on some DNR biologist or oceanologist or whatever. They were doing a study on the patterns of how early the ice is out this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's affecting, you know, the spawns because the water's so warm and the ice is out early. But then you read all the comments from all them guys and you're like, no, the numbers of walleyes and stuff are just booming right now. Like, I think the Winnebago system is going to be really good again this year.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think not having ice, we lose a lot of fish during ice fishing. Not having ice, I don't think it's going to be good for them down the road. It'd be good for us this year. I think the future, we're not going to have much of a spawn this year. They can't. I don't think they're going to be. I don't think there's anywhere they can get into the marshes to spawn. So
no, it's so
it could be rock
shallow.
Spawners and even launching boats. I mean, Fremont, they closed a couple launches down to to bigger boats because they can't.
Oh, that's I suppose
anything that's longer than 17 feet will fall off the back. So
yikes.
Which is, I mean, good for. Good for the local guys and all these big ass boats to be up there, but or they have to run all the way up from wherever. But yeah, I mean the last couple of years the amount of bigger fish caught seems to be on the rise, right? I mean, everybody thinks like a 20-inch fish is a big fish, and now you're catching
pretty big,
a lot more
for
than
bagel.
You were 10 years ago. So
I think my biggest when I was. I never really jigged either because I didn't really know how to do it. I didn't know the cadence of it, of like over reefs and stuff. But this was probably in October of 21 or 22. I actually pulled a 26-inch walleye out of Winnebago, and I got that on my wall. I mean, it was my first big fish on a Winnebago by myself. I'm like, you know what? I'll just mount it.
There ain't many left over 26. My son got one trolling couple years ago that was 27 3/4, and I'm like, geez, I don't know, we're gonna find some. And I grew up fishing on the Winnebago system, so I mean I've seen a bunch of 30s, but that's 25 years ago, that's 30 years ago, and
it's a struggle trying to find a 13-inch perch out there now too,
right? You find them when you don't mean to find them, right? When you're trolling all
on
this
accident,
like, you pull up a big old perch and like, God, how long was this thing on the board for?
So now I just spend most of my time, I'm going to learn Green Bay this year. I'm going to try and learn Green Bay. I mean, I don't have no killer boat, nothing big, but I'm going to pick my days, be smart about the weather. And
There's a lot of guys that they see that like every 2 weeks or they usually a calm day, and I think there's a lot of people that just take off of work and they're gone.
Yep. So, and then I'm hoping, because I actually registered to be a co-angler for NWT on Monday.
Cool.
So we'll see if I actually get picked, and that'll be a pretty good learning experience.
That'll be a very good learning experience. Yes. Those are awesome things to do to be the co-angler. You learn so much stuff.
Yes.
And all those things. So you gotten on the water with the boat. How much you fishing the first year with your new boat? Were you out all the time? Did it become a problem?
I mean, I am married, but I have such a supportive wife that if she knows I'm going fishing whenever, she's fully behind me. This is what she wants me to do. Right. For my life, and she enjoys it. I enjoy it so much.
She come with you?
I got her out once this year, but that wasn't very productive. That was one of the where they're finally transitioning from the mud back to the reefs and stuff. but it wasn't killer. But I did get her on a good jig bite the second time I took her out this year, and yeah, she loves it, but she won't go every weekend. She doesn't like it when it's like 80 some degrees and she's burning. And yeah, that's funny. I get her out there every now and then.
That's funny. My wife generally goes, she has a thing as long as it's over 60.
Oh, yeah.
If it's over 60 and we're not pre-fishing, she'll come. I think the pre-fishing days where you're just running, gunning, not really, you catch two fish and you have to leave because you don't want to beat them up, right?
Right.
It's tough for people to fish with you when you're doing all that. Oh, hey, we found fish. Yep. Now we're going to leave and go find some more, you know?
Yep.
So other than those days, as long as it's over 60, she'll generally come along.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough for her now that she owns her own hair studio. So she's a barber. So she owns her own hair studio and she's by appointment. And now that she's been doing it for over a year on her own, she used to work at the barbershop. So now that she does this on her own, you know, the appointments and stuff are rolling in. So it's kind of hard for her to make time for her to come with me. But yeah, she's fully behind me.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
So you launch out of Menasha most times?
Well, now that the county launch is back open, that's probably where I'm going to be going. I mean, it's, what, an extra 10 minutes drive,
right?
A couple miles. I mean, I don't care. Yeah.
Plus that Menasha, that's a slow go out of there, too.
And I actually had one of my friends that lives right around there. He actually caught some kids messing around with my boat trailer, and they cut my wrench hook.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah, so I mean, there was enough threads on there for me to get my boat back on there, so I ended up ordering a new one right away. Yeah, that was an experience.
There's nothing worse. I actually, back when I had one of my small boats, and I would fish all over the place, rivers and stuff, and I was way up by Princeton fishing, and I came back one day, and it's a landing. It's not really a landing. It just was a spot where you get back in the water, and there was a little parking lot there.
Yep,
I came
yep.
back, and all my lights were gone on the trailer.
Wow.
Someone took the back lights off. And they cut them off, and they went and cut the pigtail off, but left the rest. They wanted both ends. And I'm like, I got there, I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, did I make somebody mad? But, yeah, my stuff was all gone. I ended up driving home with no lights on anymore.
Jeez.
No taillights on the trailer. And I'm like, I mean, they need to be redone, but I'm like, if you need them that bad, you can just wait. I'll give you some cash, and you'll get your own today.
Right.
Slicing mine off.
You can buy a whole kit on Amazon for like $40.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, most people don't mess with things, but you never know. There's always one or two.
I mean, I actually have heard stories of, like, the Black Wolf landing, and then there's I don't remember what launch it was in Fremont, where people are actually crawling underneath the trucks and cutting the catalytic converters of them.
Probably.
Yeah.
When they're stacked like that, it's pretty, I always think there's no one would bother it. But then I think of days like when Battle on Bago, and afterwards everybody parks in the field, and there's...
Yes, yep.
You know, I don't even know how many millions of dollars of boats sitting there, and no one's out there. Everybody just and I always come back. I used to throw a GoPro up in the back of my truck, just in case if somebody would come by. And after a while, I'm like, no one gives a shit about my stuff.
Yeah, but,
I mean, there's a reason why they make screen locks for your electronics. I mean, it's all that's out there because people do shitty things.
Yes. Yep. I'm pretty fortunate enough. I get to park inside of a garage to a boathouse. My grandpa's old boathouse. I live three doors down from where he used to live. Yeah. So my grandma still lives there. She's a widow now. He died like 3 years ago. So, yeah, I occupy that boathouse now, so I don't have to worry about much. Yep.
So did you get a chance to go fishing and take your grandpa out or all or no?
I did. Towards the end of, towards the beginning when we bought our boat, his health was kind of declining, and he couldn't really walk anywhere without a crutch. So it was really difficult for him to get in a little boat like that.
Yep.
So, no, I didn't really get to take him out much.
Oh, that's too bad.
So, yeah, I mean, it is, but, yeah.
Right. What do you think he'd have thought of the electronics and all stuff? What did he have in electronics for his boat? Do you remember? Like a paper graph or something?
Like an old, probably early 90s Lowrance, I think, or maybe a Garmin. And then he had, you know, the old school, like, handheld autopilot. Yeah, like it was all old school. It was electric downriggers. Yeah, it was like all like new for back then, new stuff.
Right.
So early, late 90s stuff.
What do you think if he used some of the stuff now? The live scope and the side scan, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly what some of the old timers say now that use it or see that stuff. What happened, you know, fishing with a brain? He doesn't, you know, he didn't understand because, you know, like with trolling rods,
yep,
you got to calibrate them. Mm. So I measured out 100 feet in my backyard and, yep, you know, do it that way.
Yep,
he goes, why do you do that? You just reel up the line on the reel and you're good. I go, no, Grandpa, because every time you add a reel a line, it makes it bigger.
Yeah,
he didn't understand that whole thing, but.
Hey, listeners, let's talk outdoor streaming. What is the best outdoor streaming platform out there? Well, it's simple. It's Fix TV. Not only do they have this great program, but they have all kinds of hunting and fishing shows, along with some weaponry shows. So when you get bored and need something to do, get your fix with Fix TV. And when you're done with that, and you have that fix to get out in the outdoors, jump on TheRealShot.com and get everything you need to satisfy your fix.
Yep. That's funny. When I first started trolling, I just put line on, right? And I just let it out. At first, we didn't have...
Yep.
I only had, I think in my first set, I started with four trolling rods. Two had counters, the other ones didn't. So I just would count out in my head as I let them out, and I would do the other ones. And half the time, I had no idea where I was. I was on, there's another trolling app, there's the Persistent Trolling, and there's another free one that is god awful wrong.
Is it?
Yeah. And I would use that, and I caught fish. And I would tell my buddy where he's like, there's no way you're doing that. There's no way. What app are you using? And I told him, and he's like, no, man, that's not right. You got to do this. And randomly, I was catching fish that were suspended, and I had no clue. I was only down like 6-7 feet. I'm like, well, we're catching fish.
Yep.
Yeah, the trolling game, all those little. What do you like about trolling?
I just like watching that planer boards go backwards and the flag go down, and then you don't know what it is or how big it is or none of that. And you can cover a lot more water moving, and you can literally put your baits, you know, high or low, and you can find the fish anywhere.
Right.
So it's just probably the easy part of it. It's not really easy, but it's, I find it a little more easier than like trying to jig, because then you literally got to find the fish.
That's true.
So you can just cover more water.
Yeah, that's fun. That's nice. And it gets, you know, more relaxing, too. You know, have conversations with people and eat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite snack for – everybody has their snacks and they go trolling. What's your snack of choice?
I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I don't really drink or eat when I'm out on the water unless it's hot. I can go 12 hours without eating or drinking anything.
Jeez.
I know. It's hard to believe, but I can do it.
I definitely don't drink. I mean, I have my water out, but I always have to have dots.
Dots?
Dots have always got to be in the boat. I don't know why, but dots, if I'm going to Quick Trip, it's probably water, dots, and gum. It's pretty much my day.
Gum is another one. If I can chew gum, too, I'm pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's hot out there those days.
Oh, 90 when there's, like, no wind and the water's just nasty green and smelly.
Yep. Yeah. Had some bugs in there. And
that was a couple years ago. Oh, my God. It was like I got off. It was so bad. The flies were so bad. They were just nasty. My carpet was covered. My seat was covered, and everything was smushed. I actually got a Snapchat video of when I got home, and I let it all air out, and the bugs are just still flying out of there. It was gross. Yeah.
Yeah. The first time when you don't know about the bugs, and like if it's gonna be a bug day, I put the back all my chairs down so I don't sit back and smush anything on my shirts. And I have shirts I bring along that are already been ruined, and you're like, okay, I need my bug shirts today.
Yeah,
it can be tough when you're trying to.
I normally don't mind bugs, but when they're crawling on like the back of my neck and trying to go in my ears and in between my glasses and my ankles,
I do like those old school troller guys. They do battery fans.
Oh, like the Milwaukee fans.
And the fans that blow on them. Like, that's pretty smart. I don't troll enough to do that, but that's pretty smart.
Yeah, that's genius.
So what is there any little tricks or anything that you've done to your boat to make it kind of yours? Any little modifications you made to kind of make everything go a little easier for you, or things you've learned?
I don't really think so. I mean, the only thing I've really, other than that makes it easier for me, is upgraded the trolling motor. Because I started with a basic one that was on it, didn't have autopilot or nothing on it.
Yeah, that sucks.
So now I got the new Turova, which has the iPilot and all that stuff, and that makes life a lot easier.
Linked all the way back.
And I can just set it and forget it. Yes.
Those are pretty awesome. I don't have that now because I don't really have that. There's a reason I don't have that. Because they don't link together. And then you don't have that remote. It's not available for the one I have. But the
iLink?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, God, I so missed that. You know, set the little line on your screen because hummingbird, you get like the purple where you're going or whatever. And it's like, oh, you're golden. You're done. It's
like, I'm sure all these guys see all my fancy electronics on my little boat and they're like, what is this guy doing? I mean, hey, if it works, it works. Right? It's caught a lot of fish
you,
in there. So
you got to make it your own, right? It's just electronics aren't just out there for the big boats. They're for everybody. And once you learn them and figure that stuff out, it makes life a lot easier.
It really does, yes.
That link is that's pretty killer though. I do. The only thing I miss in my new boat is that's not on there, and I wish I had that because, be able to set and turn, not to worry about, not to always look back over your shoulder to see, am I going to hit something? No, you're on the same. Especially if you get into like doing stuff. I noticed that the other night when I was trolling in Green Bay at night, I'm like, God, I wish I had that yet because I'd have to constantly pay attention. I mean, you gotta pay attention anyways, but to not have to worry about staying on a you can set it to. I used to take me and my wife would go. I'd take her. She wanted to just drive around, whatever, and I would set it to a depth.
Yep.
And we just sit in the back of the boat, and just let it drive us around the lake.
Really.
Set it to like 10 feet and just go around. We went on to we went to Green Lake one day. She wanted to look at all the big houses, so I'm okay. We set it to 20 feet, and we just for 3 hours.
Yep.
It just drove us around the lake. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
That's pretty neat. Yeah.
But so what's been the best part about the boat, about your newfound love for fishing?
The fact that I can just get in and go by myself. I don't know that I, learn how to. Well, that's probably the best thing about Jefferson. It's not super busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can.
You have some time.
Back
there.
The boat out, unhook it and pull the trailer up. And I just find the sanity of it all just going by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best part. It's a manageable boat that you can use by yourself. Next year, I will be upgrading. I'm probably just going to get one that's 2 feet bigger and a little wider. So that might be a little more difficult. But it's the fact that that boat lets me do everything by myself.
Yeah. And I think they all, I've made the grown up from my 14 footer down to what I have now. And it had definitely there's some growing pains. There's some things you have to kind of unlearn and relearn, right, of how things go. And especially when you go from, from metal to fiberglass. And I thought I would never leave metal. I've just, growing up, I'm watching TV shows. All I wanted to ever have was a Lund, right? And I got my Lund exactly what I wanted, loved it, and just realized it wasn't quite for me, right? It wasn't and not being what I needed for what I do. Do you watch a lot of fishing shows growing up? Or is there anything on TV that you remember watching as a kid? Or
I don't think any fishing shows. It was mostly like The Call of the Wild, Ted Nugent. Oh. Yeah, it was a lot of that. Or
the white and black camo, the
arrows, zebra camo. Zebra animals, yep. So, no, but I really did look up to Babe Winkleman.
Mm-hmm.
Him and that Pete Mayna.
Okay.
A lot of the musky guys. That was not a lot of TV. Not a lot of fishing TV.
Do you do any fishing besides walleye fishing?
Not necessarily. I mean, I did some perch trips last year that were, I figured that out a little bit during when it was, perch fishing on Omega has been good for the last couple.
Mm-hmm.
I did figure that out.
So you're one of those guys that anchor up and piss off all the troller guys.
Yes. Yes.
You're one of those guys that come around the corners like, what the hell are these people sitting on that reef for? Oh, shit.
I mean,
the perch are there too.
I don't do it a lot. I only maybe did it 2 or 3 times last year because my buddy that I bring, he's more of a perch guy. I mean, because they do.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. But.
Well, to me, they do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if I get, like, bored of fishing for walleyes or something after a while, I'll...
Yeah, try something different, yeah.
Yeah, switch it up a little bit. I do want to dabble into musky fishing because my father-in-law did just buy a boat and is starting to buy all this stuff for musky fishing, so I do want to try that. I do also want to try going out to, like, Big Green and catching some lake trout and stuff like that. I mean, I do want to dabble, but mostly walleye.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, one of the funnest things, speaking of musky fishing, is in the fall and De Pere. You don't need much for lures. We literally do them on salmos or small. For some reason, the muskies don't. You don't have to have big lures.
Really?
Up there to catch muskies. Mm-hmm. Most of our stuff is on number 9 hit sticks or Selmos. So you go up there and we change out. And I usually put a little leader on. I put a like spider wire on for the leader so they don't tear anything off. And you control and catch walleyes and muskies all afternoon. It's crazy. Like, you can catch 4 or 5 muskies. I mean, they're not. I think the biggest one we caught was 42.
That's still pretty big.
But they're just up in there, and you just, you know, troll the flats around, and man, they're just in there biting. You catch them walleyes, muskies, and then the white bass get in there too sometimes. But
white bass, in the bay.
Yeah. But other than that, my first muskie was actually caught doing that. I had a friend that would go up there and he's like, dude, we caught 15 muskies last night. Shut up. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll go do it. And I didn't have, at the time, I don't think I was even using hit sticks. I was just using Selmos. So we're going up there for walleyes. And I'm like, he says they bite with walleyes. And I'm like, whatever. And all of a sudden we started catching them. And I'm like, oh, this is crazy. And then I lost a couple lures and stuff because I was just using my normal XT and they would blow through that right away. So
yeah,
I had to change out to put a little leader on there. And life was good after that.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to try that because I think Saturday night I might go up to De Pere and troll at night. Because now I got new planer boards with lights on them. So we're going to try to give them a whirl. I don't have no big bait or nothing, but I'm sure they'll bite on like 7s and 9s.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I want to try and get in the 30 club this year. That's a goal.
That's a good goal to have. That's a good place to start, too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of my friends that guide and, you know, go fishing out on the bay, and they're still not even in the 30 club. I would love to rub it in their face. Like, hey, here we go.
So, ironically, I have multiple entries. And they're all from Winnebago, but none of them from the last 15 years.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have anything in Green Bay. I've been close. 29 and a half is the closest I've gotten up in Green Bay. But, yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I wouldn't say you're catching a 30 every spring, but pretty much. Somebody in your immediate group would be catching them.
Yeah.
And catching one or two giants. And we used to do them on cane pole. My dad's got one of the wall that came off the cane pole. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's a big fish.
That's fun stuff. Pool. But yeah. Yeah, up in the fall in De Pere is so much fun. Anytime in De Pere is kind of fun.
I like it in May too, when they open fishing for the weekend or opening weekend or whatever they call it up there. When you go up to Little Suamico and troll right out of Gano's back and forth. I like that too. I normally do that every year. I got my brother hooked on that last year. I mean, I think the biggest we got on a crawler harness was like 24. Yeah, and a giant perch. Just a giant perch, but it's so hard releasing them because they're not open yet.
Right?
Yeah, and none of them, no sheep heads, but them white perch out there just is a nuisance.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
I had a mom's boyfriend. My mom's boyfriend, he actually brought one home and tried eating it, and he said it was nasty. So, yeah, I mean, I dabble here and there.
That's cool. So what do you want? What are you looking forward to learn this year? What do you want to figure out?
Bigger water. Like the bay. I want to start getting size. I mean, I can get numbers. I just want to get size, quantity, or quality.
Yep.
So that's normally what I'm looking to do. And I want to dabble in the other techniques and stuff like that. I want to learn a lot more.
Is there any one technique that you're...
I want to learn how to use the shiver minnow.
Okay, there you go.
Shiver minnow. And the rip and wrap. I mean, I know how to throw them. I just never really caught fish on them.
Right. Yeah, it's a kind of a, you gotta put your time in once you figure it out. Some of those things are hard to describe. It's like, I don't really know how to describe what you're supposed to do. Once you do it, you know, though, but.
Yeah. Just like jigging out in Winnebago. I mean, I picked that up in a couple trips and, I mean, I've tried jigging wraps and ripping wraps and stuff out there and I just can't do it. I can't figure it out.
What do you think of blade baits?
I've never done them either.
No?
No, I've never had luck on them either.
That's one of my new favorites. I came from a jigging world. So I grew up jigging and spring and all that stuff. So that's always been like kind of a back thing. And I don't know, maybe three or four years ago, I started the blade thing. And it's I always have a blade bait on, no matter what time of year. I don't know why. Summertime, I'll be in Oshkosh and I'll have a blade bait. I don't even know why it's there, but I'm just going to keep it on.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's cool.
And I never really even caught fish on plastic either until last year up in De Pere. That was a new experience for me too. Yeah.
It's kind of a weird trust thing, isn't it?
It really is. Like
with yourself.
You buy this stuff and it's like, am I even going to catch fish on it? Right. Or is it even going to work? Yeah, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
First couple casts, I was hooked. Yep. So.
Yeah, once you catch them on that, and then I had caught some on plastics and then blades, and I thought to myself, I don't need live bait anymore.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You don't got to spend money on live bait that you don't end up using all of it anyway.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so, I used to have a fish tank in the basement.
Like I had one in my garage, yeah.
Keep everything alive for, you know, get a couple more weeks out of this stuff, and yeah, that was always a pain.
Yeah. Yeah, now I don't got to do any of that stuff.
So if you were to go fishing one more, you only go and fish one more time.
Forever?
Forever. One more time. Where are you going? What you doing? And who you taking?
If it's the last time ever, probably Lake Erie. And I would take probably my best friend, Wes Sokol, and my brother. Because, you know, I probably get a lot of heat for this, but I hear and see from a lot of guys at work that go out there and do that it's easy. Anybody can go out there and do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, and there are a lot of numbers out there too.
Mm-hmm.
And size. So I just feel like that would ruin it for me if I were to do it like right now and could keep fishing. But right. If I had to pick a last time to go, that would be Lake Erie.
That's true. You don't want to, if you learn how to fish, you know, all of a sudden you find the easy place to fish, you're going to kind of hit that over and over and over again. And life's going to be like.
And I've ice fishing, I've gone to Lake of the Woods, and that's not easy either.
No.
Because while it's ice fishing, you go up to a fish house and you don't like move you're stuck in one spot.
It's a lot of water to cover too.
And that was kind of weird because we were an hour from shore, like 30 miles out.
Oh.
And that was a little nuts for me. So, I mean.
Do you do a lot of ice fishing?
Yes. Yeah. I dabble both ice and open water, but. This year is more open water because we didn't have much ice. I had my boat out on February 4th or 5th or the 6th or 7th. One of the first weekends in February I had it out already.
That's awesome.
And then last year I had it out December 30th out on the river in De Pere. Yeah, that was
awesome.
A little nuts this year.
It is a little nuts. I had some boat issues, so I didn't get to partake in the fall. But, yeah, this is the earliest I've had my boat out. I was surprised. What are you going to do? It gives you the opportunity to fish, go fishing, right?
And I don't hate it at all because now I'm becoming a more of an open water guy because I think ice fishing is a lot of work.
Yes, it is a lot of work.
Yes.
And it's cold.
Cold and pulling shacks and loading up a four-wheeler if you need to take a four-wheeler. It's kind of a pain, but I'll still do it. I'll still love it. I know my best friend, he freaking hates it because he's a nice guy.
So what's your... Were you Winnebago ice fish?
Yeah, mainly. Otherwise, I'll go up. My mom owns a permanent trailer up on Chute Pond.
Okay.
So I spend a lot of time out there. I've even hit White Potato this year. I've even gone up to, this was a first for me too. We had a guys' weekend and we went up to Lake Tomahawk.
Oh, that's cool.
And we fished Rainbow Flowage. I mean, jumbo perch out there. And then we hit Lake Gilmore. A lot of crappies on that one. Big Arborvita we hit. That was hit and miss there. I mean, up north, it's really hard to figure out the walleyes.
Right.
Where, and it's a lot deeper water and bigger water, and not water I'm familiar with.
Clear, yeah. It's almost fishes opposite of what you're learning how to fish here. It's clear and deep and cold, and here it's warm and chocolate milk.
Yep. So we did a lot of that this year, a lot of up north fishing, ice fishing, because that's pretty much all that had. Advice.
Right. Yeah, you couldn't do much here at all.
Yeah.
I got to Winnebago, I think, once. And I didn't go up much. We were off of Asylum.
Okay. Yeah.
That was my only adventure out in Wisconsin ice fishing, and I went to Minnesota one day to fish, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. And then my best friend's mom was actually just out on Cass Lake in Minnesota.
Okay.
They're bringing home 200 perch.
Wow.
So yeah.
That sounds like a good day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not a good year for ice fishing, but I feel like open water is going to be longer and a little better.
Right, and save a lot more. Save a lot of fish, though. I mean, a lot of fish get yanked out of the ice, so.
More miles on my truck. I mean,
the only bad part is more white bass.
I don't mind them. I won't eat them, but I'd still rather catch them than like a sheephead.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, this year I'm just going to go for size. I don't even care about keeping them anymore. I just want to catch size.
Cool. So. All right. Well, thanks for being on today.
Yeah, this is fun. Right? Yeah.
Is there anything else that you're looking forward to this year?
Well, it's my last year with this boat, I hope. So I just want to give her one last run. That's going to be fun. And, you know, putting them walleye X baits that I have that I've never used to work and, you know, playing my part on the walleye X team for them guys and showing them what I can do. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. And hopefully I get a co-angler spot on the NWT.
Right. That'd be cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun. So. I'm hoping you get on there because you'll learn a lot.
I hope so, yeah.
Everybody, if you're coming up and you want to learn how to fish, get on, be one of those co-anglers.
Because I really...
I think you should... I would think you find Green Bay and Green Bay and Oshkosh and the area, they always have a lot of anglers, a lot of local guys that fish the pro side. So generally, they have more spots available.
Yep.
So hopefully you get yourself a spot.
Yeah, it opened at 9 o'clock on Monday for the registration. I think I was done registering by like 9:02. So
were you stressed out at all?
I was a little nervous because I don't like being let down.
Right.
But
have you ever fished in tournaments yet at all or no?
None of the NWT ones. I mean, last year I wanted to do the Summer Battle on Bagel, but they were already full.
Yep.
I wanted to do the Mercury Nationals, but they were full.
Yep.
But no, I haven't really fished none of the big ones. I mean, a lot of ice fishing tournaments and I've placed pretty well. I've actually won one of the local bar ones up north 2 years in a row, I lost third year in a row by a quarter of an inch. Yeah, I mean, I do dabble in tournaments a little bit. Not a lot of the big ones around here because, you know, they get so full so fast.
Yeah, you got to be on them pretty quick to get in there.
I wanted to do the fish donkey one on the pier.
Oh,
yeah. I wanted to get on that one, but that full, like, filled within, like, 7 minutes or whatever. 4 hours or whatever it was, yeah.
That's pretty crazy how fast. And I don't understand. I've always fished that one and I have pretty good luck in that one. But I don't understand why they just don't add another. I mean, I suppose you can't. But at some point, you can only have so many boats. But I'm like, they're just printing money. Just,
pretty much, yeah.
Just having them. But they also have a fall one, too, that I've never done. That's pretty cool. You know, out of this, you know, a fall river one that I've been meaning to do. I just don't do. But yeah, that spring one is something crazy.
Last year it was snowing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ironically, that was the cleanest my boat has ever gotten with 8 inches of snow. They just got jammed down in the boat. We actually ended up taking it to my work. I just left it in the building and it took almost 12 hours for it to melt out and drain out of the boat. We jacked the boat up to get it up to all the water to come out of there. But I was surprised. I thought someone was going to fall in as much snow, and it just, the bottom of the boat was just glare.
Yeah.
We were trying to use the net to shovel it out to get it a place to walk. Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, all right. That's pretty cool.
Well, I hope you get on the NWT. You'll learn lots. Hope you get a decent pro that takes care of you. And,
yes. I'm hopeful.
That's a lot of fun. So, all right. If you're looking to be on an episode of Walleye Chronicles, hit me up on my socials at Matt Snell or A Smiling Fish on TikTok, and we'll get you on here. Till then, there's two things you can do every day to make somebody's life better. One, give them a smile, and two, take them fishing. Thanks a lot.
Check out Fix TV. And remember, follow me on the talk at Smiling Fish and everywhere else at Matt Snell.